separation is gone, isn't it, between what the Bible says and what's happening in the world. Just kind of the blinds are all gone. We see it all together. Okay, one last time. Haven't got it straight yet, I don't think. Oh, well. Okay, what I want you to do to see how you understand all of this is I want you to tell me what should be on the timeline, okay? You have them all out in front of you, right? I mean, I just did mine on paper. I never want to mess up the one in the book, just in case, you know, so I started off on paper. Clearly, we can't put all of those things on our timeline that we're going to do, but we're going to try and get as much up there as we can. So let me get the little one out here. Isn't it fun doing these, though, how it puts it together for you, how you start to understand? And I think the things that we don't put up, that we don't quite understand, as we go through next semester, I think we'll understand a lot more where those things go. So what is the very first thing that we want to put up on our timeline?
Birth of Jesus.
Okay, the birth of Jesus, right? Very good. A little cradle up here. No, bathtub. Oh well, there it is. Doesn't look as good as theirs. Okay, so the birth of Jesus, right? Where did we see the birth of Jesus talked about in our study this time? Okay, Revelation 12, right? We won't put the references up there, but Revelation 12. What do we see in Revelation 12? It talks about the birth of Jesus. Okay, the birth of the child. We see the woman who is
Israel.
Who's in labor, ready to give birth. We know that woman is Israel, the beautiful woman. And she gives birth to the son. And what does it say about the son? Okay, he's caught up to God. Who does he escape? Okay, Satan, the dragon, is waiting to do what? Okay, we have that gruesome picture of the woman in labor with the dragon waiting for her to give birth so he can devour the child. But he doesn't. He can't do that. But the son is born, is taken up to where? Okay, to the throne, right? Caught up to the throne. So we see him taken up to the throne. All right. So we have the birth of Christ. And what's the next thing we see on the timeline?
Messiah cut off.
Okay, we have the Messiah cut off because we have him born. We know he's the one that was born, the one that's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron, right? The Messiah. And we see him taken up in the ascension, but we don't see him there being cut off. But where do we see these cut off?
The cross.
Where? Who tells us he's going to be cut off?
Daniel.
Daniel. And when he's telling all the days, right? The weeks, how many weeks for the people?
70.
Okay, 70 weeks altogether, right? 70 weeks. Daniel. And we know that the first 69 weeks conclude where?
The decree to rebuild.
They begin with a decree. Okay, so put that back here. You can't really, you know, get too far.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is a decree to rebuild Jerusalem. And that, we saw that in the book of Nehemiah, right? Okay, so the decree to rebuild Jerusalem, it begins there. And then where does it end? Where's the end of the first 69 weeks?
Triumphal entry.
The triumphal entry, which would be right here, right? That is the end of the first 69 weeks. And then after the 69 weeks is over, what happens? Messiah is cut off, and then what?
AD 70.
Okay, AD 70. What's going to happen in AD 70?
Temple and Jerusalem destroyed.
Okay. AD 70. Temple destroyed. And what do we find out about that from the book of Luke? Why is it destroyed?
Do not recognize the time of the visitation.
They didn't recognize the time of their visitation, and so their house is going to be left to them desolate. And because who did they kill all through the ages? Okay, the prophets, culminating in the death of who? Of Jesus. And so it was going to be destroyed. So the people of the prince who is to come. So what people is this destroyer going to come from?
Rome.
Okay, we know that. So the people, the prince of the people to come are going to destroy the temple. And when they destroy that temple and Jerusalem, what's going to happen to the people?
They'll be dispersed.
Scattered. Okay. So the great scattering begins, right? And where are they scattered? Okay, throughout the nations.
Diana?
Yeah?
Is that the diaspora?
Yes. Yes. Yep, that's a diaspora where they're scattered throughout the nations. And then what did we see in Luke that happens in between the ascension and this time of 70 AD when the temple is destroyed?
Church. The church.
Okay, the church begins. Yeah, we know this isn't really the church, but we're going to do it anyway. Church begins. And then what happens to the disciples during this time?
Persecution.
Okay, the persecution of the disciples. We saw that in Luke 21, right? I think so. It's time of persecution for the disciples who will all except one give their life for the gospel. And the purpose of the persecution was what did we see?
To scatter them.
Not to scatter them. What was the purpose of the persecution?
To defy them.
What were they to do when they were called up before the kings? What were they to do?
Witness.
It was time for them to give their testimony, to witness, right? It was a great time of testimony, and the church was built on this. That was their time to do that. Remember, he said, don't even think what you're going to say. When you're called up, I will give you the words. But it's for you to do, to testify. Okay, so we saw all of that. And that was kind of the end of this. We have the temple destroyed in 70 AD. This is all after the 69 weeks. We'll draw a line. That's the end of the 69 weeks. Now, when does the time clock begin to tick again?
1948.
The covenant.
When the Jews return to their land.
Okay, it begins to tick again in Daniel when what? What happens?
The covenant sign between
the right. Covenant. When the prince makes a covenant with the many, that begins the time clock again. And that begins what week?
70th.
Okay, this begins the 70th week right here. 70th week begins here when the prince signs a covenant with the many, which are who?
Jews.
Okay. Covenant with the many. Now, what is the big marker that we have in this 70th week?
Okay. 3.5 years.
Okay. The 70th, or the 7th trumpet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Put that here. The 7th trumpet, lots of things happen here. And so we know that when the covenant with the many is made, it's made how far away from the 7th trumpet?
3.5 years.
Okay, 3.5 years. So this time here is 3.5 years. What happens during these 3.5 years?
Two witnesses.
Okay, we have two witnesses. They're very important. What do?
They witness.
They witness.
They send plagues.
Okay, they're the ones that cause the plagues to come. We think about the bowls, the seals, and the bowls over here, the seals and the trumpets, and all the way they're described, we have these witnesses, and they are the ones that send the plagues. They can send what kind of plagues? What kind can they do?
Fire.
Okay, fire. They hold the rain up in the heavens. There's probably a big drought. What about the water? They can turn it to blood. And then anything they want. It's like Danny said, they can any kind of plague they want, they can send how often? Whenever they want. So somehow, remember, these witnesses are the ones that stand before who? Who do they stand before? Stand before the God of heaven. So you know, we think about them sending the plagues whenever they want. But who are they being directed by as they stand before the God of heaven?
God.
They're directed by him. So they send the plagues. And at the same time, they're witnessing, calling the people to righteousness, repentance. So we know how the people think about them. What are the people of the world? How do they view these guys? Okay, they hate them, right? So how are they going to come to their end? Okay, when are they going to die?
Just before the seventh trumpet.
Okay, so when the beast comes, he's going to kill them. So we know he comes at the seventh trumpet, so they are going to be killed by him. And what happens? Okay, lay in the street for 3 days. They can't even, they won't let them bury him or anything. And then everybody files by to gloat over them. And then, and have the big party. You know, if they had a longer calendar, it would be on the calendar. Because there won't be any more calendars much after that. But what are the, what happens? It's interesting. Okay, they get the directive to come up here. They stand on their feet and they come up into heavens, or taken up into heaven. And then there's the earthquake that destroys part of the city and the 7,000 people that are killed. And it's a big time of judgment when they kill the last two prophets that God sends. Just like the other prophets, these guys are gone too at their hands. Okay, what else happens during the first 3.5 years?
144,000.
All right, we have the 144,000 sealed, right? And they're sealed as belonging to who? To God. It says they're the first fruits, aren't they? They're the first fruits of the Jews that are to come. They're the first fruits. And these are, we have their character described. They're above reproach there. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes, and they are sealed. And we know that the judgment is held back until they're sealed, because nothing is going to touch them, is it? So they're sealed. All right, 144,000. What else do we have going on? Okay, more than likely, this covenant that he makes will enable them to build a temple, right? And so what's going to go on in that temple?
Sacrifices.
Okay, there'll be sacrifices. Because what do we know happens at the seventh trumpet? Let's go back here. What's going to happen in the heavenlies at the seventh trumpet?
War.
Okay, so war with who?
Satan is following.
Michael, who is the prince of Israel, versus Satan. Remember, Michael's going to arise in Daniel at this point. It's going to be the battle in heaven. And what's going to happen to Satan?
He gets thrown down.
All right, thrown down. Satan will be thrown down to the earth. And when he's thrown down to the earth, what is his attitude?
He's got a big attitude.
Rage.
Okay, he is going to be enraged, right? He is enraged because he's no longer allowed in heaven.
He makes war with the saints and with the children of the woman.
Right. He's come to make war. With the children of the woman. Which is who?
Israel.
Jews. Okay. So he comes down, he inhabits the prince who is to come, who becomes the beast, and his rule then will be for how long?
3.5 years.
So the beast is going to rule the kingdom. For this 3.5 year time. It's now his kingdom, because when he came down and sets up the abomination of desolation here, which is what? What is abomination of desolation?
He makes himself God.
Okay. He presents himself as God. He kicks them, he stops the sacrifices, puts himself on the altar in the Holy of Holies to be God. He presents himself as God. What are they supposed to do, those who live in Jerusalem?
Worship.
Flee. They're to leave, right? Get out of town. Get out of Dodge. So the woman flees. He's taken over, isn't he? So the woman flees. Where does she flee to?
The wilderness.
The wilderness. Because the wings of a great eagle are given to her, so she can fly away to the wilderness to be nourished in a place prepared for her by God for how long?
3.5 years.
Okay, 3.5 years. And so they're gone. right? 3.5 years. And so he tries to go after the fleers and he can't get them. So who does he turn his attention to?
The children.
Okay, to her children. And so he's busy. And we know that when he turns his attention to the children, what does this, what do we call this 3.5 years?
The great tribulation.
Okay, it is the great tribulation. Or what else? It's the day of the Lord, but it's the time of Jacob's trouble, right? Because it says that there is nothing in history that will ever be like this time for the nation of Israel. Think about all the horrible things they've gone through in the Holocaust and other, before all that, it's not nothing compared to this. It'll be nothing compared to what happens to them in this 3.5 years. Okay, so we have the beast, and then who does he have come along to help him? Everybody needs a friend. Okay, so he has the false prophet then too. And what does the false prophet do?
He causes everyone to worship the beast.
Okay, he causes everyone to worship the beast who set his image, the images up in the Holy of Holies. And what about the people?
They get a mark.
Okay, so there's the worship, and then everyone has to receive the mark in order to do what?
Divine themselves.
Okay, the mark of the beast. It's all you really almost hear about in Revelation, right? The mark of the beast. Receive that mark of the beast. They cannot buy or sell without receiving the mark of the beast. Now, do we know that there are some who will make it through the tribulation without receiving the mark of the beast?
Yes.
Okay, so there'll be some that make it through. And we know that because what happens to all the people that receive the mark of the beast?
Lake of fire.
Okay, the lake of fire. And what about during this 3.5 years? What comes on them?
Oh, all the wrath.
Right. All of the wrath, and it's going to come in the form of what here?
The bowls.
Okay, the 7 bowls. The wrath of God. And they come on to the people that have received the mark of the beast. And what it talks about, that if they've received the mark of the beast, is there any hope for them after that?
No.
No, there's no opportunity for repentance, is there? None. Once you receive the mark of the beast, your end will be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Okay, so we know that there's some that will not take the mark of the beast. And there's also people that are going to come and be killed in the tribulation. And what happens to them? Where do we see them?
Under the altar.
Okay, under the altar. There's those martyrs, right? There's going to be altar and then there's the martyrs. And what are the martyrs asking?
How long
until you avenge the blood of all of us? He says, not until what? Okay, not until the full number of martyrs has come in. So we know there comes a point, and we think it's probably going to be over here where the bowls are, because what did we see with those bowls? Remember when the water was turned to blood and the angels, what did the angels say?
Well, it's done.
He says what? About them, about the people. What do they have to drink?
A cup of blood.
They have blood to drink, right? They have blood to drink now, and they deserve it because why? Yeah, because they have shed the blood of all, in all the blood, you know, they have shed, that they deserve now to drink blood. So think about them asking, how long until we're avenged? Well, they're avenged when these people are judged here and they're drinking the blood because of the blood they have shed. Okay, so we know that's coming up there. What else do we have on the second 3.5 years? What about Babylon?
We'll talk a lot about Babylon.
Okay, Babylon will be destroyed somewhere over here, probably toward the end. There will be an actual destruction of Babylon, whether it's Rome or whatever, we don't know. But Babylon encapsulates what?
The whole world system.
The whole world system. Everything that's been in opposition to God from the beginning, right, is all kind of rolled into that one thing, and it's Babylon, and she personifies everything that has ever come against God. All of Satan's attempts to rule the world is all there in Babylon. And so when she's destroyed, we know it's at the end, because what's going to come to an end when Christ comes back? Think about the Hallelujah chorus. The kingdoms of this world have become what?
The kingdom of our God.
So when he comes and brings in the kingdom, think about the statue. All those Gentile nations that are all ruling the world. Statue, feet are broken. The whole statue comes down. Remember? And what comes in?
Okay,
it's God's kingdom that breaks down the kingdoms of the world, and so they're all going to be destroyed. And so Babylon will have to come and be destroyed somewhere in here when all that goes. All right, what else? Anything we're missing that we need to put up there? I would think so, because the man of lawlessness can't be revealed until the restrainer is taken out of the way, and we know that he's revealed when he does what? Right, when he breaks the covenant, because they won't supposedly really know who he is up here, because he'll be a world leader who will make the covenant and not seem like a really bad guy, apparently, at that time. But he'll be revealed to who he really is when he stops the sacrifices and breaks the covenant. And so the restrainer is there until that time. What else do we have? Okay, when will the Old Testament saints rise up? Had a clue. Okay, at this time, before the kingdom, the Old Testament saints will rise up. How do we know that? Remember? Okay. Remember at the end of Daniel, when Daniel's asking about all the things he'd seen, and God says, seal it up. The angel tells him to seal it all up. It's not for right now, but you'll go on your way, finish your life, and then you'll go to sleep. But you'll raise up again for your part in the kingdom. And so we know that when the kingdom is coming, that the Old Testament saints will rise up.
Because the New Testament ones come with Jesus when he comes back.
Yeah, so when Christ comes back, we know that all this comes to an end when Christ comes back, right? So here we have Christ coming back to the earth. Who's coming with him?
Saints.
Okay.
New Testament saints, right?
Uh-huh. But we're described as?
The armies of Christ in white.
Okay, the armies of heaven, dressed in white robes. Mm-hmm. Kind of get all the clues put together. That's the church coming back with him. Because where he is, there we'll be always, right? So we're coming back with him to face. So what's going to happen when he comes back? What's the big battle?
Armageddon.
Okay, the battle of Armageddon. When all the nations are gathered together, right? Christ is going to come back, and what's he going to do?
Destroy them with the word.
Okay, he's going to destroy them. He's going to tread the winepress of the wrath of God, right? And they're going to, all that death is going to happen. They're going to be defeated as the armies are defeated. And when the armies are defeated by Christ and his army, then what's going to happen to the false prophet and the beast? Okay. They get thrown into the lake of fire. And the beast. Lake of fire. What happens to Satan?
He's bound for 1,000 years.
Okay, Satan bound. For 1,000 years. And it's this 1,000 years here. We call what?
Millennium.
So before the millennium begins, what's going to happen to the survivors of the tribulation?
Judgment.
Mm. Okay, it's the sheep and the goats judgment, right?
Okay, that's
it. What happens to the sheep?
To the right. They go into the kingdom.
Okay, the sheep go into the kingdom. What happens to the goats?
The left.
Right. Sheep, goats go down there. Okay. And we know the sheep are identified by what? What's the main identification on the sheep?
How the Jews.
Okay, the treatment of the Jews. Because remember, this is going to be a time worse than any time ever. And so if you take care of them, if you take them into your home, if you care for them when they're in prison, if all that, then you know that you identified yourself with the king who's coming, because they are his people. All right, so we have a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, where we know that all the promises that we saw in Ezekiel and all are all fulfilled for the nation of Israel. They have security in the land. The land is ready to receive them and provide for them. They have long life and health, and they are what? What happens? They get the new covenant, right? The nation of Israel, and when they do, they receive the Holy Spirit, who causes them to do what?
Receive Him whom they have
seen. Yeah, they're gonna obey, because they're gonna repent when they see Him, and they mourn over Him when He comes, and they're gonna receive the Holy Spirit, and they're gonna obey, and then they're gonna be the light to the world they were supposed to be when they were first conceived, weren't they? They were to be the light to the nations, and they will at this time be the light to the nations. And we know that there'll be one nation, not two any longer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to be the king over
David
them?
Will be king.
David will be the king over them. Yeah, talking right today. David will be the king over them. Okay, so 1,000 years will be a wonderful time when it will have the people that come into the kingdom that were on the earth during the tribulation. We'll have the saints that come back with Christ. When he comes to fight the army and to accomplish all of this. And then we'll have people that are born during the tribulation time. And who's going to be ruling over all of this? Okay. Jesus on the throne in Jerusalem. And he's going to be ruling, as it said back here, with a what?
Rod of iron.
A rod of iron. You get hit with a rod of iron. What does a rod break?
No.
Okay, yeah.
It's during this time period, I think sometimes churches mistake it for heaven. So when you read in Isaiah, you think you're reading all about heaven lying down by the lamb. That's not it.
No, it's talking about the millennium. There's very little said about the new heavens and the new earth. In the very little, but there's a lot said about the millennium. Why is there a lot said about the millennium? Why is it talked about a lot in the Old Testament?
It's the promise. It's the fulfillment of the promise. Yeah.
Right. It's the fulfillment to all the promises that God made to the nation of Israel. Yeah.
How is Jesus and David ruling? Is David like his manager?
He's the prince over Israel.
Okay.
It says he'll be the prince. Jesus will be over the whole earth, but Israel will have their prince. They'll have David. Ezekiel was a really great study because you uncover all those things, the sacrifices and the David, the prince, and it's kind of confusing, not things you usually hear about.
It all goes back to the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, which was fulfilled through the Davidic covenant and the new covenant.
Right, and it all comes to fruition and completion in the millennial kingdom. So it's a very important time for the nation of Israel, and we will be ruling with him as well out in the nations. Okay, so at the end of the 1,000-year reign, then what's the big thing that happens?
Satan.
Okay, Satan, who's been, I'm sure, chomping at the bit for the 1,000 years to get out, he is set free to do what?
Deceive.
The great deceiver. He's going to have one more whack at it. And as he deceives the nations, he goes out, does he accomplish his task?
Yes.
How many are going to be deceived? Okay, like the sand of the seashore, which we know is a lot. So a lot of people are born during this time. People are living long lives, and a lot of people are born, and they're going to be deceived. And we see, if you go back and read Psalm 2, it talks about why do the nations rage? Why are they coming against the king? God's established the king on the throne, but they're raging against him. Because even with the perfect ruler on the throne over the whole world, what do people still do?
Sin.
They still rebel, don't they? They'll still rebel. Because we know that during the 1,000 years, not everyone is going to be a believer, will they? No. But they're going to be kept under control with that rod of iron. They can't act out. They'll be kept under control. But when this deceiver comes, there's going to be time now for them to have their way. And so when the deceiver has his way and the people are deceived and they're all gathered together around who? Okay, they gather around the holy city. Then what's going to happen?
Fire from heaven.
That's when the fire falls from heaven and wipes them all out. right?
Yeah. Okay, that's the end of that. The great final rebellion will have occurred and been stamped out. And then what happens?
Great white throne judgment.
Okay, then we have the great white, we have heaven and earth passing away, and the great white throne judgment. I'm just going to put a cloud up here. That's the great white throne judgment. And the books are going to be opened, and how are they going to be judged? Okay, by their deeds and whether their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, what is your final destiny? Okay, it's a lake of fire. Okay. And then after that, the new heavens and new earth. And what happens in the new heavens and new earth? We have a new what?
A new Jerusalem.
A new Jerusalem. And we have the, you know, it's never nighttime. The gates are always open for the nations to come in and go out, and it's forever. And who dwells among them? God, right? There's no need for a temple there. Of course, we know he's living among the people here as well, but he's still in the temple, isn't he? Here, but here there's no need for a temple in the new heavens and new earth. No need for sun, no need for moon, because the Lord is the light.
Didn't I understand you to say last week that the only people that will be living in New Jerusalem were Jews, or did I misunderstand?
I don't know. I don't know that we actually know that. But we know that the nations are going to be bringing their riches and all into the New Jerusalem. So there's going to be people living outside because it'll be a new earth too, right? And the New Jerusalem will descend. And I'm not sure if it's the Jews are going to be there. We know that the foundation is the 12 tribes of Israel along with the 12 disciples of the Lamb. And so I don't know. I don't know that we know for sure. It's kind of all a mystery. There's only like this much written about all that. We have to kind of surmise that we can surmise. I don't know.
I'm thinking about the deception. And I think the Lord said to me, I have been sealed by the blood of Christ. Therefore, I don't need to worry about the time of the deception because my destination is sealed and it won't change.
Oh, absolutely. It's not going to be those who are saved that are going to be deceived. It's going to be the new earth dwellers that come in the millennium, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just do not understand how anybody can think that we are in the millennium. You know, if you study it, it's clear to, you know, even though there are some parts that are muddy, that part is clear.
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding. And I really feel like Satan, I think it was 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Wayne talks about the snakes around the water. Do you remember that? Did you ever hear that one? He talks about when you go, he's from wherever, down south somewhere, when he would go down there to fish, there'd be snakes around the water, and he had to shoot the snakes to get to where he could fish. I think that was the story, but talked about how the snake encamps around the water. And you think about the living word of God, the water, and how the Satan just encamps around that to keep people off, to kind of scare us away. And I think that this is the trouble with Revelation. There's so much blessing promised for studying the book of Revelation. There's so much that can come from this that Satan camps closely around it to deceive and to distract and to divide so that we can't be of one mind.
Just scare
to,
people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to read that
No, story. Is this like, you know, it's a scary story. No, it's not. Has anything in here been scary that we've looked at? No, it's not. It's what we see throughout the whole Bible just kind of all put into a nice little concise book for us.
A minute ago I heard you say that Jesus is in the temple during the millennium. Why is there a temple in the millennium?
Study the book of Ezekiel. There's going to be sacrifices, not...
Oh, that's right. Yep. That's right.
Yep. So he will be in the temple. I don't know how often he comes out of the temple, but I know he will be in the temple. But in the new heavens and in New Jerusalem, there will be no temple any longer.
Okay. I forgot about that.
So he'll be dwelling among man, but he still will be in the temple. Okay, anything else we need to get up there? Do you miss anything that you would like to see up there? The nations are going to endure the insults. Remember we saw in, was it Ezekiel? About how they've been insulting the nation of Israel all this time during the time of
The Gentiles. What's the time of the Gentiles, by the way? Where did it begin?
Where do we think it begins?
Destruction of Israel.
Okay, it includes the destruction of Israel. I think it begins back where we have that statue. That's not a very good statue. Keeping true to form, not a good statue. But this was, the statue was an overview of what?
The Gentile nation, the Gentile
rule. Okay, of the Gentile rule of the world. So this is an overview, and we know that the feet with the 10 toes, remember? That's the very last kingdom, which is going to be destroyed by the rock that comes from heaven, and is the kingdom of God. So, if this begins the time of the Gentile rule, what ends it? He's the rock, right? Coming from heaven, he's going to destroy the kingdom of the Gentiles to bring in his own kingdom here. So that's the time of the Gentiles. Now, what is the fullness of the Gentiles? We talked about that. What is that time period where does all that kind of begin and end? If you think back to Romans chapter 11.
It started with Cornelius.
Okay, with Cornelius, which is like 8 years after the resurrection, right? The Gentiles came into the church about here. So then the church was now Jew and Gentile together, and it says that that Israel will be deceived until what? Okay, until the day when until all the Gentiles have come in, right? And then this all will come to pass. Okay. So that's the church age, basically. The church age begins here and ends where? Which would be, we think, church age maybe ends here, we hope.
Yeah. Well, it sounded like
that's what we're voting for.
But there's Gentiles that get saved during the tribulation.
Yeah.
But they're not the church.
It's not the church. The church age will end.
Well, obviously, at the end of the church, the end of the time for the Gentiles.
We haven't looked at that yet. Now, we will next year, we can say that next year. After January, we started, there will be a whole lesson on the rapture. Looking at what everybody thinks it might be, and if it's even, you know, so we'll look at that next time.
What about the Bema seat?
The Bema seat, okay, where the Christians are judged, or we get judged for our deeds, correct? That would happen where?
At the rapture.
Okay, I think during this time here will be the Bema seat somewhere in here, because we know that this also is the time for what?
Bema seat.
Also then for the wedding feast of the Lamb, with the bride, the wedding feast.
Marriage of the Lamb.
And we know that because of the wedding story, right? The Jewish wedding story. That when the groom pays the bride price, he gets they become betrothed, he goes back to the father's house, correct? He goes back to the father's house to prepare the place for the bride. And while he's preparing the place, the bride is getting ready for the wedding. And then he comes back at a time that only his father knows, because when the house is ready, the father tells him, go get the bride. So he goes and gets the bride, and he brings her back, and they have 7 years of what? Or 7 days of what?
Like a honeymoon.
A feasting, right? There's 7 days of feasting. So it's all exciting. So it kind of ties in with that. So 7 years of feasting would give us 7 years here to be feasting with our heavenly bridegroom.
Wow, that's
so the Bema seat would be, I would think, at the beginning of that somewhere, and the feast would begin. But we don't know that for sure. That's just kind of where it is. Okay, anything else? I think that's the basics. Now, isn't it amazing how much we've learned over this thing? As tedious as it sometimes was, going over it over and over and over again, hasn't it been profitable? I mean, it really has taken away the unknown aspect to Revelation. Now when you read the book, you read it differently, don't you? If you were to sit down when you get home and read through the book of Revelation, it wouldn't be an unknown
scary thing anymore. What it's become kind of a friend, which is I think every book we study in precept becomes a friend after you.
A question a friend taught me about years ago was in Jeremiah. We covered it, I think, last week, where it says, God promises Israel, if the heavens are destroyed, he will be faithful to his people. Now, we see Jew and Gentile during the church age in one body. Then we see the Jew fulfilled, God fulfilled for the Jew his covenant in the millennial realm.
Mm-hmm.
And we all go into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Are we all going as Gentiles and Jews, or will we be one as we were before?
I don't know. Will they be distinct forever? It's interesting to think about that, because even in the new heavens and the new earth, the nations will still come and bring their... There will be still some distinction, not distinction in a bad way, but God made us diverse, didn't he? And it seems like that even though we'll all be in the new heavens and new earth together, there's still going to be the nations. So who is not part of the nations? Israel has never been part of the nations. They've always been set aside. So I don't know.
And it doesn't say.
It doesn't say. We can just kind of, think about that.
Don't we want some surprises?
Yeah. We don't want everything to be known, do we?
I don't think so either.
I think there'll be lots of surprises there. A lot of surprises.